My dad, Pastor Salem, had a heart to share the truth of Scripture and point people to Christ. We invite you to share this program with family and friends as we continue our study of the great I Am statements of Jesus. Today, we turn to the fourth, I Am the Door.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And here we are, another week has rolled by, and we're looking at the great I Ams of Jesus. There were eight of them. And today we're going to look at what Jesus says, I am the door. I am the door. But before that, we always want to share some of the letters because I know that they're asking questions that a lot of people are asking. And then we can all pray for each other. All around the world, we're all praying for each other. One, the family of God. So the first one is from Traverse City, Michigan. And says, I would like to know how many times I need to ask Jesus to come into my heart and save my soul. That's a very good question, and I get it asked quite a few times. And so I always answer it this way. How many times were you born physically? Once. How many times were you born spiritually? Once. Jesus said you must be born again. He was talking not about physical birth. He was talking about the spiritual birth. And so once you ask Jesus into your heart, you are his forever. And then you say, well, why should we pray any at all? Well, then as we live this life, we're going to fail the Lord. And so we ask him to forgive us for our sins, for the sake of fellowship with the Lord. But as far as our salvation is concerned, it's settled once and for all. Well, here's a nice one. I just love this letter from Vyborg, South Dakota. And this is a lady that writes. And she says, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I keep teaching, and you keep teaching me more. I thank God for honest, down-to-earth ministers, and that's what I've known all my life. I made more mistakes than many other people, and again, thank God for his forgiveness. And then this is what she writes. I had a boyfriend when I was 15. My dad sent him a running. He wanted to be a minister. I said, I'm not a minister's wife material. I sent him a Dear John letter. After many years of service, his wife died, and he called me. We live 300 miles apart, but we have a daily relationship most couples would envy. It has been more than a joy. His life is threatened at 89. We lean heavily on each other. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I think that's the nicest letter, one of the nicest letters. And here it is, that was true love, and it ended up with true love. True love over a telephone, 300 miles apart. But you can communicate. God bless this couple. Here's Billings, Montana. And they write and say, I just finished watching the film Heart of a Shepherd. It's a very inspiring story and one that has a powerful message of hope. Holding fast to my faith, keep preaching. And this Heart of a Shepherd is 1 hour long, and it's an evangelistic message. And we send it out on a free will offering basis. You can give this to a friend or show it to people, and you can help them come to know Christ, where the Lord is using it to bring many people to the Lord. So you just get your pencil and paper, and then at the close of the service, I'll give you our address. One more letter, and this is St. Peter's, Missouri. Can you please speak on the use of saying, oh my God? Everyone is saying it now, and with no regards to how holy God is. And is this not just using God's name in vain? Isn't this blasphemous? Yes, it is blasphemous. And you remember what God tells us in Exodus 20, verse 7? He says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And that means when you lightly use the word of the name of God in any way, God is going to mark that against you as a terrible sin, and you're going to have to face it someday. So just be careful how you take the name of the Lord Jesus, and the name of God, Jehovah. Yeah, because he's marking everything down. Now, if we accept the Lord, he forgives us. All those sins are taken away. But we ought to be careful how we name the name of God and how we use it. Well, let's see. Well, let's take a look at our sermon for today. And this is the fourth great I am that Jesus gave. And he says, I am the door. So the minute we say, I am the door, and we say, the door to what? Well, it's a door to all that is good. It's a door to everything that is lasting. It is a door to all that is pure and clean. It is the door to everything worthwhile and eternal. It is the door to a new day, a new life, a new world, if you can believe it. Let us quickly look at some of these wonderful things that Christ opens to us when he is, as you come to him as that door. Jesus is the door to real peace. The world talks about peace, and yet all over the world, they're fighting wars, and right at the point of fighting and hatred and terribleness, they talk peace, but there is no peace. Nations are at war with each other. Parents are fighting with each other sometimes, or there's a war between them and the children, or maybe be with your neighbor, wherever you work. There's just war all so many places. And why is there war? And I'll tell you the answer exactly why there isn't peace. It is because man is not at peace with God. He's not at peace with God. He is estranged from God. And so he's estranged from his neighbor and all those around him. When man is right with God, he is right with his fellow men. And when you find a cantankerous soul, a troublemaker, mark it down. That person is not right with God. In all of the backbiting and fault-finding and bad-mouthing, man is right not with God, because if they're right with God, all of these battles would cease and there would be peace. When man is right with God, wars will cease. But when a person is as demanded, as Jesus demanded, born again, he enters that door, and that door that brings him with peace with God. He finds peace and he becomes peaceable. Believe me, the friends, I'm going to tell you, there is no other way. Listen to the promise of the Prince of Peace when he said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Or listen again to Jesus in John chapter 16 and verse 33. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so this Jesus Christ is the one door that leads to peace. And if you want peace, and if you want a quiet heart, if you want peace to really last and will make a difference, then you come to Jesus. And take him as your Savior. Bring him into your heart and your soul. And then Jesus is a door to real joy. The angels of Bethlehem sang, joy to the world. And well, it could be, because that comes from God, don't you see? Yet again, this is a commodity, this short stock around the world, this matter of joy. And the terribleness of man's sins make we wonder that the civilization is leading and is so-called civilization, it's just leading this and no joy and no happiness, but just tension and all over the world with the awfulness of sin running almost rampant. And so their sin has entered, and this is awful all over the world. And when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that's the way God wants his people to be. He wants us to be rejoicing in Christ. He wants us to sing and be happy and be joyful. The long ago old sour pusses is no witness for Jesus Christ. The doleful face, you know, sometimes they make a donkey looks happy. They're so down on the mouth and just so sour. Come to Jesus and you'll find joy and you'll find peace and you'll find help. But it has to be a personal relationship where you open your heart to the Lord Jesus and let him control your life, you see. Jesus says, he says, that my joy, rejoice in the Lord always. God said, and that's what he said, always. And so when we can do that, we cannot do it unless we have Jesus. You have to have Jesus in your heart and in your soul. You have to personally receive him. Ask him to forgive you for your sins. Ask him to come into your heart and live in your heart. Promise to turn from all or anything wrong in your life and live for him the best you can. And you'll never be perfect, but you strive for perfection. That's what you work at. You remember the story of Nehemiah. He had an almost task that was impossible. He had to go back from Babylon where they kept captive, and they were let go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls of the temple. It was almost impossible to do. And what did Jeremiah say? The joy of the Lord is your strength. And so that means God will give us physical strength and spiritual strength and mental strength. Remember what the wise man of Proverbs said? Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit makes one sick. So here is something better than vitamins, and they won't cost you a thing. Rejoice and be happy, and that comes only through Jesus. Because when we have this relationship with the Lord Jesus, He opens the door so we can have happiness and we can have joy. And I'm not saying that everything is going to break right and you're never going to be sick and you're always going to get a parking place wherever you're going. I'm not saying that. Jesus had a lot of tribulations and trials. The persecuted church has those tribulations and trials. But all of those people have joy. Joy gives them strength and helps, but it only comes when you have Jesus Christ. Then there's a door also to contentment. The world is filled with unrest and uneasiness. We've got ulcers all over the place. Nowadays, a man doesn't have an ulcer. People think he doesn't have any ambition or any interest in the work. I told right about a fellow, and they fired him because he had peace. He found Jesus. And he had peace, and he did his ulcer healed. And they thought he was losing interest in the company, and they fired him. I don't know if that's true. That's what I heard. But there's a thing. When we live in sin, and we don't have Jesus, and we have those sins to fight with us, there's always turmoil in our heart. God put his finger on it centuries ago, went through the prophet Isaiah 57, verse 20, he says, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." And you say, "Well, am I the wicked?" Well, he means those who are outside of Christ, those who reject Jesus Christ and are living it on their own. They are wicked because they reject Jesus Christ, and you don't have peace. You may put on a big face, and you may have a lot of money, and you may have a lot of things and trinkets all over the place, big toys for big boys, and the place is full of them. And yet in the heart and the soul, there's something wrong. Paul says, and he learned, he says, sometimes I have a lot, and sometimes I have nothing. But he says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And when you have Jesus Christ, you'll be content. You may have a lot, or you may have nothing, nothing. Poor as a pauper, like the little widow woman who was so poor that all she had was two little pennies that she earned that day, because they paid them by the day. And they paid her the two pennies, and she put them all, give them all to God, give them all to Jesus. And she thought she had nothing. She was content. And that comes because you have Christ. A good rule to follow is never be content with our spiritual condition or spiritual growth. Always try harder and work harder to be like Jesus and to follow his word. But never be discontent over earthly standings and goods. If you have much, be thankful and content. And if you have little, be thankful and content. And if you have a lot, share it with your neighbors and help those around you. That's easier said than done, and it can't be done unless you have Christ in your life. And this wonderful Lord, and when we have him, we can really rely upon him, and we can know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, and we never worry and we never fret, but we just lean on this precious Lord in heaven. Oh, there are times in life we wonder what happened, and that something goes wrong and it doesn't make sense. And I'm going to tell you this, first of all, never question God. Who are we? a miserable little soul in the world with billions of people, and we're challenging God who created all the universe and all there is. Never be angry with God or question God. The only question you ask God is, dear Lord, now what are you teaching me? What am I to learn? Patience or love or whatever it is, contentment. Just ask him to show you his will, because as you walk with the Lord, there's joy and there's happiness. And I can tell you, after 88 years, it's the most wonderful thing in all of the world to walk with Jesus and know that he's there and everything's going to be all right. And you can go to bed at night and you hear all the news that drives you crazy. But you just say, hey, God's on the throne. Dear Lord, you're going to have to take care of everything. You're going to come and straighten out this whole mess. And a man isn't going to have the last word. You're going to have the last word and then go to sleep. See, that wonderful Savior. And then there's the door of freedom and liberty when we come to the Lord Jesus. I've been in the ministry now for 75 years. And I've seen a lot of people and I've seen a lot of things. And I hear so many times over and over, there's a misunderstanding by the world. There's a misunderstanding for the people that don't have Jesus. You're living without Christ. You have no place for God in your life at all. You're making your own way. And so you're living. But there's a misunderstanding. Because there's some of these people believe that many of these people out in the world believe that the Christian doesn't have freedom. They don't have the joy. All the limits boxes him in, and he's in a little box. And God has all of these don'ts, and thou shalt not, and thou shalt. And where is he? He's a prisoner in a little tiny box. That's what the way the world looks at the Christian, and they couldn't be more wrong if they tried. There is a need that's what the devil is teaching in the world. That's where that teaching comes from. Doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. Doesn't come from God. Comes from the devil. And because, listen, Jesus is the only one who really sets us free. Mark it down, Buster. Jesus Christ is the only one who sets us free. I am the door, he said, this is what he said. He said, I am the door. Then he said, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in, and he shall go out. That's liberty. You don't have liberty until you have Christ. He shall go out. He's been liberated. He has freedom. He's not in that little box that you think he's in. He's set free. Don't forget the declaration of the word of God. If the Son has set you free, you shall be free indeed. There are people who think they're free when they're not free. They think they have their liberty, and especially in America, they have that, they have the right to liberty, and they have the rights to freedom, and they think they have real freedom and liberty, but they're not free at all. They are bound with evil habits. They're imprisoned in prejudice and hatred. They're bound by superstitions and falsehoods. They're bound by alcohol and tobacco and liquor and drugs. They're bound by gambling and betting and lottery. There are around victims in the evil. They're bound to have victims of an evil mind and evil movies that you've seen and things you bought and things you read. They're suspicious about everyone in the world except themselves. They're frightened to death about death itself. I know a lady one time, and she had to have somebody come and take care of her. And when they hired whoever the attendant was going to be, they said, don't you ever, ever, ever mention death in her face. Don't talk about death, because she's afraid of death. And she ought to be. You claim about all of the freedom that you have, and this is just an idle boast. There are Americans that are just all knotted up. And then we read about the persecuted church, and they're dying for Jesus, and they're freer. They're free in Christ to suffer for him, to live for him. And there isn't anything better than to give your life for God, to give your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is all through Jesus. They are free. I am free, truly free. And it's because Jesus, I've entered that wonderful door of Jesus. Jesus is the door to absolute security. And so he keeps us safe, and so we can rely upon him. And this is what he said. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, never perish, never go to hell. That's what it means. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That means he holds me. I'm not holding on to Jesus. And if I let him slip, I go slip into hell. No, he holds me. And look at the next verse. My Father in heaven, my Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And so here is Jesus, and he holds us in this hand, and then God holds that hand, and I am safe, perfectly safe in Jesus. Oh, it is so beautiful. And the psalmist wrote about it in the psalmist 40th Psalm. He says, he brought me up in Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry, and he brought me up out of a horrible pit and a miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And then he closes his psalm by saying, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, but such as turn aside to lies. Absolutely security. That's the door that you enter. And let me say this, their God, Jesus, is the door to heaven. He's the only door to heaven. There are invariably many who want to try to, like a thief and a robber, and they try to climb up another way, Jesus says, but they're all going to be discovered, and they're all going to be turned away. And Aaron, they're not going to enter that fold where Jesus is the door, and we're safe in that fold, and because they don't want to come through Jesus, they got other ways. They got works, and they got this and that and a dozen things. But Jesus says they'll never make it because Jesus said, I'm the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the door, the only way to God. And how that wonderful Lord Jesus is there. And you can enter that door. There is one God, and there's one heaven, and there's one door. And you need to enter that door. And you said, oh, I want to enter the door. I want to be in with the Lord. And I want to have Christ in my life. And I want to be sure I'm going to be in heaven. And I do want to be liberated from these habits and this evil life that I'm living. And so you just pray, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and to take my sins away. And then you promise, I'll turn from my sins. Jesus taught repentance. Repentance means turning. It means if you come from the pig pen, you don't go back to the pig pen. You have a new heart and a new life. You have a new spirit. You're a new creation in Christ. And so you say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I'm going to turn from my sins. And I ask you to forgive me and take them all away. And thank you, Jesus. Now just say in your own words, in your own way. And that's God is waiting. And he says, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the door. It's the door that Jesus is knocking at your heart. And he says, if you open your heart and ask me to come in, you can do that. Pray it with me right now. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. I'll serve you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you'll never be perfect, but you strive to be like Jesus. That's what you do. And if you do that, you write to us. It's the Christian Worship Hour. And the box number, the Christian Worship Hour, and the box number is Aberdeen, South Dakota. Box number is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. Kind of bungled that. So get it right now. Christian Worship Hour, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you would like to, we have a little booklet that we put out. It's called The New Song. And it's a Bible study every month. It's free and postpaid. And you can just get it by writing to us at that address and say you want the new song. And this month, our Bible study is 8 ways to overcome discouragement. 8 ways to overcome, and they're all from the Bible. 8 ways to get out of, not be discouraged. And then you need to help us. You'll need to pray and say, dear Lord, is this a ministry that you're using? Are you in this? Do you want me to help? And if you do, just, dear Lord, tell me. And you can send that gift to that address that I just gave you. And I'm going to tell you something else. When you give a gift to the Christian Worship Hour, we are a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books every year. And in the contract, it says that they can walk into our office any day and day or any time of the night, anytime, and have access to the books. It's all above board, and it's all in liberal freedom. And so you can write for that. If you want that film, that beautiful film about coming to Jesus, you ask, say, I'd like to have the film. And then you can just send a gift if you can. If you can't, just write to us. So now I want to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just praying for your people everywhere. And we're praying for the persecuted church. Every week we pray for that persecuted church, the one in Syria. Lord, they're dying there, and their homes are being wrecked, and the church is burned. And yet you are with them, and you'll give them strength. Oh, God, bless those people. And hey, I know they're going to wear the crown of a martyr, and won't that be a great, glorious thing? So, dear Jesus, and bless the young people who have decisions to make, and the children and the people on beds of sickness. Bless us all as we put your arms around us, as we call upon your name, and you'll be there to help us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now here's for our shortwave people, because you don't have a screen, but you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And always remember this, God loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you no matter what your sin might be. And all of us who work for the Christian Worship Hour, we love you and we carry on this ministry because we want you to come to Jesus. And I personally, I want to tell you, 75 years I've been preaching this same message. And I'm doing it because I love you and I want you to come to Jesus. And I don't know why you would be so stubborn and you wouldn't come. And you just make that simple prayer that a child can make. I prayed it when I was 10 and he saved me. And that's 88 years ago. So God bless you. Do the right thing. Take Jesus.
My dad loved to preach because it gave him the opportunity to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about having a personal relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, visit our website at cwh.org. You can stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view pastors' devotionals. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.